Welcome to Live the Fuel.
Welcome to Live
Welcome
the Fuel.
To Live the Fuel. Focusing on health, business, and lifestyle. And now your host, Scott Mulvaney.
All right, good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another Live the Fuel show. So today we're bringing on yet another co-host. This gentleman comes from the New England area of the U.S., and I'll let him expand more about his wonderful abode up northeast. I'm in Pennsylvania, so luckily we're in the same time zone. Our other co-hosts have been all over the place. So this gentleman, I already actually chatted virtually prior to setting up this encounter, which we'll talk more about because it's been a roller coaster ride trying to get he and I reconnected again. But he's responsible for the brand Tui. It's a relationship company. We're going to be able to expand more on that as well because there's actually a meaning behind that. But he's also got some exciting new things in the works too because he's, I believe, either relaunching or rebranding into a new podcast. I'm going to let him expand on that too, but it's called Pioneers of Insight. And I love that branding as well. So again, guys, we're going to talk more about this. It'll be all linked in the show notes. We always have everybody's profiles for you to follow him later in case you don't have time to write this down today. But this gentleman is an innovator and an empowerment facilitator and a relationship strategist. So we're going to have some fun today with Jerry Gara. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. It always sounds better when somebody else is, you know, given your creds.
We did a very, very detailed conversation last time. So I was like, I better remember some of the stuff. And admittedly, like I literally write notes down and then I just read them off the screen because I want to make sure I give everybody a due justice and a proper introduction.
Sounded great. Well, you know, I realized that, you know, when I'm listening to it fed back to me through somebody else, that I need to tighten that up a little bit. There's so many things, you know, in terms of descriptors for what I do.
Well, and to be fair, I mean, some of your history for our listeners here is you come from a highly, I guess I can, I generalize it as psychological background? Would you agree with that?
Yes, that's true. That come from. Yes, okay. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist.
Okay. So,
and that's been your career, right? Coaching. Yes, that's been my career, but I've done a few other things. We can get into that as well.
Well, so let's do this. Where we're at today is obviously Tui and the Pioneers of Insight podcast. Now, am I correct on saying that that's a relaunch? Because I did get some of your emails and I'm like, okay, I think he's shutting down another podcast, launching another podcast, or what's that transition happening here?
Yeah, it is not a relaunch. My first podcast was called QH Cubed. I was interviewing basically people that were in the healing profession, both on the medical side and the psychology side, people that I felt like were pushing the edge, but it was purely an explorational piece for me. I was using that as kind of a test platform for this podcast that I'm launching now. I knew eventually I was going to be launching a podcast that was going to focus on leaders and achievers that have overcome extraordinary challenges on the road to success. So that was just kind of my testing period.
Gotcha. Okay. So now obviously, and this is an important lesson. I mean, we talk about this on a lot of other shows about, you know, how you have to put in the reps, you know, you have to put in the time. And a lot of that is just necessary, whether we're talking about health, business, or just overall general lifestyle, because that's how we learn. That's how we progress. Right. You're going to make successes and wins, but you're going to actually have some failures and some opportunities to learn from. But if you don't take the time to at least put in some of those reps, how are you supposed to learn from that?
Yeah, I'm the kind of person that needs to run into walls to learn things. And
I think I've been there a few times.
Yes, no, I've been there multiple times in my life, you know, and that's what I love about being an entrepreneur, that's kind of wired into the experience. And I'm that kind of person that is always kind of seeking an edge of adventure. And that's, you know, that was my strategy with the podcast. I actually find myself getting information overload with things, and I can suffer from paralysis analysis. So I've learned to develop kind of a strategy of once I get what I feel is a good outline of something, just to step into it because I'm a hands-on learner. And I end up running and I'm making connections along the way that really empower me much better than kind of going a traditional route would go. So that's just worked for me. I don't know, you know, that's part of what I do with coaching is exploring different ways of learning. That's my way of learning.
Well, your conversation on paralysis by analysis is very common. I've brought that up actually a few times, and actually I believe that was brought up on a recent episode in the past week or two, and what, not by me, somebody else mentioned this, but that is very, very valid. Let's think about this, like for our listeners and also for your followers too. This is common. I mean, we are all in information overload these days. That's one of the, I guess, pros and cons of all this wonderful technology is now we do have so much at our fingertips, you know, but now how do you sort through it to stay successful?
Right. Yeah, that's a good question. And I think it really has to boil down to self-awareness. If you're not, if you're not aware of what kind of person you are in terms of a learner, it can make it really difficult. Because, you know, let's say that you're an audio or a visual learner. If you're sitting there trying to chug through, you know, 50 pages of web content that's, you know, it's all in written form, you're just really going to burn out really quickly. So it's identifying what is, in which way you learn the best first, I think is a key strategy. And then I find in my process, I'm always listening and looking for what I want to look for. I mean, what I want to look like as I move forward. So my standard is always trusting my instinct to identify those people that are doing things at such a high level that I want to model it. And then once I figure out through the mentorship of other people's media and conversations and things like that, once I figure out what they're doing, then I add in me, you know, that's been helpful.
Well, and now, so what you've just explained sounds like a wonderful, smooth, methodical process. But now, granted, how long has that process actually been clear? I mean, this is probably taken a little while for you to get to that point.
How long has that been clear? Probably for about 8 months.
Thank you for your transparency. Yes. This is really, really important. I mean, because I do coaching as well, maybe not at your level. But I mean, you and I talked last time, like I studied psychology as well when I was in the university. And it's one of the few things that actually has stuck to me this day, like, you know, late years later. Like, yeah, I had marketing too, but marketing in college doesn't teach you squat because it's always changing. Mm-hmm. You need to actually put in the reps and exercise in the real world. But I love the transparency of that because people need to understand that we're all like literally constantly redeveloping this, refocusing it. It's constantly moving and changing. And sometimes it may take people years before they find that clarity. I mean, I don't know about you. What would you say to that?
I think that is the case, but I think what's worked for me is to never push against where I'm at. Like, so if I'm running my head into walls, let's say, you know, on the business side of things, or in, you know, I'm doing a lot of content creation and media things, I'm finding for me that the least effective means of moving forward is generating more guilt, more blame, more self-judgment. That never works. It's always saying while I'm going along, I'm doing the best I can. But that the tactics and the techniques around what I'm doing, the learning process, I grease the wheels when I can take a psychological approach of appreciation of the efforts that I'm making along the way.
So that's an interesting tip there. So as you're progressing, you are like stopping and pausing, taking little notes, and it's like little ticks, I guess, like you're taking little tick points down because it's so easy for us to progress so fast, so quickly sometimes if we're really in our flow state and like you're just ripping through and like you might have just forgotten something powerful that you've learned maybe literally 2 hours ago.
Yeah. That I think a lot of entrepreneurs in general, I do a lot of executive coaching, people that are attracted to creating things, creators in general. They depend upon feeling states. It's states, right, that send them motoring down a path. But if you can really learn to slow down in chunking things down by slowing down in the process and just appreciating what's going on, I think that's helpful. And at the same time, I might sound contradictory here. I've found two approaches. One is to just go with the energy that I do have and then afterwards have a nice kind of cool down to go, okay, which strategies work the best? What actually moved me forward? What moved me backward? So if you can slow down by just, you know, with gratitude and appreciation for what you're doing in the process, but if you can't, because creation often happens in that place of momentum, dedicating a time to really look at what worked is key. It's always key.
Yeah, I will say in the past, maybe more than 8 months, it's probably been really the last 2 years, I think, leading up to obviously launching this show last year and just all these other progressions in my business and my brand building and my marketing efforts. And like you said, your media efforts, it's like, there's always so much happening and I don't always take note, but I have gotten better at really taking the time now to say, okay, whoa, let's hit the brakes. Let's take time to reflect, like just really recognize, hey, this is where you were a year ago, two mm-hmm. years ago, 5 years ago. This is mm-hmm. where you're at today. Reminding yourself that you might not have achieved everything that you mm-hmm. initially set the goals out, but you got to really appreciate and, you said, have gratitude for what has been accomplished and these new things you've learned along the way. And I think so many people forget this and they're just beating themselves up because they feel like they have to be so driven to succeed.
That is like the nail in the head of most entrepreneurs is most people create in this place of crisis, right? Mm-hmm. It feels like a perpetual state of crisis, like the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. It's a really fine balance to be able to say, I have to be available for people. I have to be available for opportunities that arise. I have to move forward. And at the same time, maintain a sense of internal integrity in the process, which means you got to be tracking where you're going in the process. Otherwise, you can get thrown off the track pretty quickly. For me, I do things like, if you look in my office, I have boards all over the place mm-hmm. because when I'm the kind of person, once my gears get moving, it's really hard for me to slow down. So oh, you I, mean I have like, to put up like reminders.
Dry erase boards like this?
Right. But mine are like blackboards all over the place. If I turn this camera, you know, you could see all these blackboards around.
Oh yeah, nice. I like it.
So I will put up, you know, like in the beginning of the day, what's my plan? You know, like I call it, I have the go, show, and flow. Go is like where I'm headed in terms of my outcome. My show is what I'm doing each day to move towards that outcome. And then the flow is what am I doing in the moment, right? Hmm. So that doesn't always work because sometimes I get too compelled with inspiration, but I always find myself after a day like that slowing down and going back to it because the boards are there. If they weren't there, I likely wouldn't. I would just have to speed right back into my family and all the needs there.
Oh, it's funny. Like I literally had to rehack my office. This is probably a month ago because I had boards set up differently. Like I still have one of my first vision boards and not everybody believes in vision boards and that's cool, but I literally pulled it back out.
Well, they're stupid.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, you know what? It's hanging over my desk right now. So before it was hanging here to my left where my dry erase board is now and the dry erase board was down. And what I found was I'd put my to-do list stuff to keep myself in check down here. And I thought it was important to have the vision board up here. And for me, mm-hmm. what I realized is like, dude, I don't need to look at the vision board every day. Like it's hanging there. And then all of a sudden, if I'm just like brain fried and I look and right in the center of my board, I have just a fuzzy logoed printout. In the very, very center, it has just one word and it says focus and everything around it is blurry.
That's very nice.
So I've now like retuned my vision board to not just be about, you know, future goals and dreams, but just tools. It's just, okay, boom, flip the switch. So
I think, can we just talk about the vision board really quickly?
Yeah.
For me, this is a concept that's continually growing for mm-hmm. me. I started out with this notion that each day, that I would have a file of slides, you know, and with each of the slide was a vision of the outcome that I was moving towards. Let's just say what my business looks like. I mean, the actual structure, how, you know, where we would be once it's making $100 million, what my homes look like, what my, all of that stuff down to the smallest detail. But I found after a while that I was getting a little too ego driven, meaning I was attaching to the image when I started to realize that if I'm available to do what's necessary to make the effort to drive towards my goals, that they're always going to come. And it may not look exactly the way that I had portrayed it. That's what I keep finding. Mm-hmm. So the outcome is more of I've learned to evolve it to more of a general idea, you know, like, you know, in terms of a business, I'm a media business creating empowerment material for the world.
Nice.
Right. So I've generalized things a little bit more. And I know that goes against the grain of a lot of really popular success coaches. But I found that psychologically, I grind against the notion because my ego is always attaching to it has to look this way, and it creates tension in the process, and that's not helpful for me.
No, it's funny. I agree with you because it's interesting. Even when I've made this board, now that I'm looking at it and you and I are talking, like these are all general visions. I don't need, like, it's funny because my vision board concept originally was started back when I'm sure you've heard of the law of attraction and
yes,
the book and the movie, The Secret. And yeah, there's that guy in there who's like, oh yeah, man, I had a vision board and I forgot about it. And then years later, I buy this new house and I move there and I'm pulling stuff out of the, you know, unpacking stuff. And I pull out the vision board and oh my God, it's the exact photo of the house.
Tony Robbins got a story like that.
Yeah.
Too.
And I'm like, all right, but that's not that. I agree with you. That doesn't need to be everything. Like half of my stuff on here, I literally just said, you know, I just need something to symbolize this. Like I do have a really cool log cabin photo on here because my girlfriend and I love to go out west skiing. So eventually I want to have a investment property in another state like Utah or Colorado where we have a place to go to and I want it more rustic like that. I don't care if it looks exactly like that. It's to symbolize a goal. But I've noticed half of the stuff on here when I hung them up and didn't really realize until I'm talking to you right now is that almost 85% of the images I've overlaid quotes over top of them. So like there's a dude literally sliding on his butt down a glacier with an ice axe in his hand because I love ice climbing and I love skiing and everything else. And it just says, you know what? Health is wealth, right? It's like being healthy enough to do stuff like that. I don't have a goal to go slide on my butt down. Oh, it's in Chile, down a snow-covered volcano in Chile. I am going to go skiing in Chile. But so it's like, that's how I connected that thing there, just to kind of like tie it all
I'm a big guy. I'm a big guy. I'm kind of a higher power guy. I'm not about like defining what a higher power is. So for me, like when we're talking about the vision board, it's important for me to trust when I show up to do what needs to be done. For instance, I show up at 4:30 in the morning, right? Into my office. I put the effort in. I go run a corporate program at a corporate. I come back. I spend another 2 hours at the office and I spend the rest of the time with my family. I find that if I trust enough that there's a collaborative process in this, I show up each and every day with integrity and accountability, the rest is going to take care of itself. So when I get into the details a little bit too much, maybe that's, you know, a reflection of my personality, but for me, it feels like I'm not trusting the process.
Right. I totally agree with that. A lot of us, we get so, again, we said this earlier, get so driven and purpose focused. And it's like, oh my God, it's got to happen like this or like that. I'm like, no, it doesn't.
Right.
Like, it's just the whole point of like, even, you know, just to close out the subject of the board is like, it's there if I need it, right? It's there. Like, just to remind myself, like, oh yeah, that would be cool to do that one of these days. It's just there. Like, I agree. If this was 3 years ago, I was all about the board. But again, as I've put in the reps and I've grown and differently, it's just there. Like, I don't need it.
Well, that's a key thing for our listeners to really dig into here is there is no right or wrong way. I figured that out in my life. You know, I've been through some very intensive training in the past in the Navy and things like that. And there is this kind of training. There is a right and a wrong way. But when that was a very specific time and a specific environment for that. I've had to unlearn some things. And that is one, that if you're really showing up, you're going to find your process and it's going to be the right process for you. But the key is you got to have authenticity in it. Meaning you can't bullshit yourself to be an entrepreneur because that gets you nowhere. It really just doesn't.
And now you're going to get me all fired up, which is good because this is how I roll. Because I've been there too, and I'm sure you've been there too, where when we're early on, it's like, all right, man, I'm going to find all the experts. I'm going to find all the gurus. I'm going to buy the books. Mm-hmm. I'm going to buy the DVDs, whatever. And now I got to do it everything the way they're doing it. And if I could go on stage right now, and I've just started doing some more public speaking here and there when I have the time, but I love bringing up this subject. It's like, guys, the whole big picture here is that you put in the reps, you put in the effort and the time to develop yourself. But back to your very, very earlier point on paralysis by analysis, it's like, guys, eventually you reach a point where there's so much crap in your head that you literally are bullshitting yourself. It's like, guys, like, take one piece of all that crap that you've been sponging into your brain and take action on it and see what happens, because that person's best practice might not be your best practice. They're sharing what worked for them, but you might, it might not be in alignment for you, but that other, well, that the other person's is, that one works, but you haven't tried that one yet.
Yeah, Scott, I think you're onto something, but some of that comes from just experience. You know, I'm 46 years old, right? So, you know, initially I kind of had this idea similar to what you're talking about, right? You follow the masters, and this is promoted, and I think it's a good first step. But when you have enough experience really kind of moving forward in business or in, you know, just creating a general enterprise, you start to see that it's not about the model, because they all contradict themselves. If you've spent enough time looking at any approach, you can find another approach that says exactly the opposite. It's really just taking action. And it's, you know, we're all Michelangelos. Our process is this: we have to start with a blank slate, and you start that by modeling, and then you chip away and you chip away until you find the you in that. But it takes a while before you kind of have enough of a awareness around that. That's really sounds like a really simple principle. But a lot of people grind against it because they want to have this notion there is a right and this is a wrong. And that's a cultural thing. And it really fucks people up.
Well,
Excuse me if I'm not supposed to.
No, I don't edit crap. That's like, hey, man, we're passionate people. We say it how it is. And that's that way there's no bullshit. But what you're talking about right now is so true. It's funny because this morning's episode that aired from like a week or two when I recorded it ago was with, and she's a reoccurring person who comes on my show. She's from a local organization here called Mind of the Athlete. They're a team of sports psychologists, works with universities and companies and everything else. And she's the nutritionist. So she's a certified nutritionist, sports nutritionist, everything else. 20 years of coaching nutrition. And we talked about how whether you and I are talking about business right now, or we're relating this back to nutrition and people were trying to figure out the right diet, the right meal plan. And I tell people all the time, it's like, listen, again, first of all, I don't promote reading the magazines because half that crap is wrong. But whatever book, magazine, coach, nutritionist, whatever, in the end, you've got to hone it and take that. I'm going to do air quotes for our video watchers on YouTube. The diet. I hate that word because it's a four-letter bad word, because diet psychologically triggers a short-term mindset. It's a lifestyle. But my guys, like, a lifestyle is something being built over years. And she and I related on the fact that I'm a hardcore NSNG guy. No sugars, no grains. I wasn't always that way. But in the past year and a half, I've been testing that out with my biohacking that I do with my healthy lifestyle, my fitness, and everything else. And the average everyday person is not ready to just all of a sudden drop completely like all sources of sugars and grains from their diet. Granted, what made it easier for me, I was already off the pastas and breads for years before that. So making that little flip wasn't big a deal for me. And I'd already been adding in more healthy fats and everything else. But, and she and I both came together to agree that in the end, that doesn't mean that's right for everybody. It's like, you gotta, you could do the research, but you need to start taking action on some of that and see if it's going to work for you and give it enough time to actually be implemented. Like, oh, everybody wants it tomorrow. I'm like, no, dude, like a proper body transformation, when I coach that in my health field, it's like, dude, that, you're looking at least 16 weeks to see legit, sustainable, you know, body transformation stuff. Like, this isn't a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Hey, I'm going to have my beach body in 2 weeks. Like, that's not healthy. That's like a business. Yeah. Like, okay, I'm going to go to a coaching event. I'm going to go to a Tony Robbins event. And I'm going to come back and I'm going to crush it over the next 2 weeks. Yeah. And I'm going to be a millionaire. And I'm like, no, dude, that's not how it works. You're
starting to get into a key point. When we start to take action with it, like say we have a first step and it comes because we felt inspired by somebody else's approach, whether that be, you know, through a leading media figure or whether it be for a diet or whatever, we start to wade into this. And most people, they get a little too rigid with that kind of the concepts and they find themselves burning out, right? And this is why there's so few really very successful people that I find. And when I say successful, I'm not just talking about financially. I'm talking about psychologically,
life balance,
energetically, spiritually, community-wise, family balance, all that kind of stuff. It's because they understand that it's not about a right or wrong. It's about taking the action, identifying more of what is right for you. That's the whole process. The process is this may sound a little woo-woo, but I'm going to say it anyway. We're all in this process of figuring out who and what we are and to show up in the most powerful way that we can. I really believe that.
Oh yeah.
And that's, you know, that's kind of what you're describing with people with, you know, with a diet. The first wall that they run into, meaning this didn't happen overnight, right? Because they bought into some rigid concept about what a diet is or what a, and then you went into business or what a business is. Mm-hmm. You know, business isn't about how much you're bringing in your bank account. It's relationships.
Yeah.
It's what you're offering to people and what you're getting in return.
Oh, I've been in sales and marketing as a career for years. Like my primary background is years of sales and marketing. I still, my biggest client, I do that now, business development for them. And the biggest thing that I teach their newer people when I'm training them is like, guys, like you're building relationships. This is not a cold transactional, here's my product or my service, buy this. Like you have to understand that, yes, there's different length sales cycles, you know, depending on how strong the relationship is, right? So it's like, and this is the person you want to have come back to you and keep buying from you because there's a relationship there. And there's the age old rule of, hey, it's a hell of a lot cheaper to keep an existing customer than it is to spend money on time and advertising and marketing to acquire a new customer.
No, so that's so true.
Relationships. So again, this goes back to just, you know, friendships and stuff like that. If you're in this mindset of just take, and I'll go woo woo, the universe isn't going to like you like at all. Okay.
Well, the universe is going to smack you down.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I think it does. we fall in love with this notion though, that if we just put enough energy and commitment and motivation into taking what we need, you know, that's promoted quite a bit, that you're going to be successful. And I think what you really see when you work with enough people, like I coach executives and I also coach people that are, you know, moving through the crisis of addiction and things like that. But when you see enough people in the disparity between those two populations, you see just as much discontent with people that have, like say I'm coaching an upper level executive is making $2.5 million a year. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing just as much inner turmoil and discontent in that person as I do with the one who's the addict in recovery, right? And it's because of that notion. They bought into the notion that it's about taking, and they've let go of the critical pieces of what it means to be human, you know, and that's how can I give something to get something in return? First, you got to give, right? It's the giving that allows the getting, I think. You know, that's just kind of my perspective.
I've always been that way. I mean, not always. Let's be real. Okay, come on. I would say thanks to...
Oh, I've been horrible at taking before.
Let's see, 2005 to 2006 was my awakening into finally doing charity work and stuff like that. Like prior to that, like all I did was donate blood. I'm like, okay, you got to start. Hey, you got to start somewhere. If for our listeners, maybe that's what you're doing. Good. Yeah, you're doing something.
Baby steps. Get there.
But then that led to showing up and doing volunteer work at a cancer, you know, charity. And then next thing you know, I'm running the website for them in my free time. And next thing you know, I'm helping run the events. And like we would raise six figures a year locally here for cancer vaccine research happening at a St. Luke's University hospital here. So it was like us, our tiny little group. So that was my awakening into what now years later, a lot has changed.
I've used that as a principle when I'm finding that I'm putting in the effort and showing up, but there's no movement. I go, oh, I'm not giving enough. So that's when I go to charity. Yeah. I go, I've lost track somewhere. And that kind of woke up with me when my son was born. I have a 3-year-old who has Down syndrome, right?
Wow.
So this really kind of helped shift my perspective on the way that I was approaching life. I've always been a fairly service-oriented person, but I realized a lot of the service that I was offering was selfish, meaning I was showing up for people to get something out of them, which sounds kind of creepy when you're a coach and you're a psychotherapist.
But this is not uncommon. This is not uncommon.
No, it's a very common first step. we step into relationships to get what we're missing. Mm-hmm. And I had to, you know, through shifting points, like relationships with my son, powerful mentors that slowed me down and said, why are you asking that question in your session? You know, I had to take good hard looks at what am I doing here? Am I really looking to work through my own need through a really hard question like that? Or am I there asking a question to serve somebody to really move them forward? Does that make sense?
No, it totally makes sense because, and again, I don't have your background working with relationships and stuff, but I could speak to that because, oh God, oh, this might be almost 2 years now, but whatever. Like I came from, you and I talked a little bit about this, I think, on our last call, but I was in the corporate world here, then left the corporate world here. I'd finished a degree at nights and weekends as an adult student, marketing, psychology, boom. Then, you know, I said, you know what? I want to live life a little bit in my 30s and went out west to serve as a wildland firefighter with the federal government.
Which is cool.
I was like, it was so cool. So cool. Yeah. The life-changing experiences. But the power of that two-year transition, well, 2 to 3 year transition was, hey, number one, it got me the hell out of the East Coast. I got to go live in Arizona and Colorado. And then on the government dime, when my own tax money and your tax money, travel around, you know, to all over the West to go fight wildfires. Cool. And there's a whole breadth of depth that I can dig into that. But the one side effect that I'm relating back to your conversation here is that I made a decision that I was going to do as much self-work as I could during that time when I wasn't hiking in the mountains and trying to fight, you know, trees on fire. But I did not explore relationships, which I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing. Nowadays, I go back and I'm like, I was making some friendships and I had some of my regular circles, but I wasn't allowing myself romantically to get involved because I made the excuse, oh, well, you're gone sometimes for a month or two at a time. Why would you want to drag somebody's heart through that? And I'm like, Well, that's not really my decision to make. So, but I just, that was one of those areas of my life that was underdeveloped and I wasn't spending enough time on that. And I realized after that, after moving back here, after living in Colorado, after the firefighting and then coming back here, I realized that, wow, I have been out of touch with the romantic side of my life. And I thought, oh, I can get back into dating. And I did that. And then I met my girlfriend who we now live together now in a very serious relationship. But we ended up taking a 3-month break because my head was still so far up my ass that it was still all about me. And I was faking, trying to make it more about us because my head was still stuck out west because I loved that lifestyle so much. And I did 3 months of intense, during the breakup, I was like, oh, I know psychology. I gotta be able to hack this. So I literally bought all kinds of romantic self-help stuff, books, everything else. I dug in, man. It was like going on a research project because I wanted to figure it out. And I will say it was very powerful because it reminded me, like, number one, I wasn't living in the moment. I wasn't living here now. Like, to be fair, I've been happy everywhere I live. So what the hell's wrong with you, Scott? Like, you're an outdoorsy nut. You're friendly. Like, you can be happy anywhere just because that was just a different chapter of your life. So, and then also it's like, am I living? And also the other thing is I've always said this for years. I said, people do not belong in relationships until they figured out their own shit. So because I'm sick and tired of seeing people saying, oh, well, this person completes me. And I'm like, well, no, I would rather be complete and then you be the bonus round. That's my saying. I know I'm not a PhD.
Well, those people are in for rude awakenings.
I'm like, dude, no. Never look to somebody else to complete you or some other thing like, oh, that car or that job. Like, you need to be happy with you because when that car or that job or that relationship gets ripped away and you go crashing and burning into a period of depression and a lot worse things, holy crap, man. Like, guys, you got to focus on you.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is something I work with a lot in couples. I think there's kind of two paths that I see with relationships. And let's see if I can bring this all the way back around to business in some way. You know, one of the paths is we start out developmentally, we just don't have the tool set, right, to understand these things and what it means to be complete. That's just part of the human journey. Like, who am I? What am I? What makes me tick? What do I need in my relationships? We don't have those things. So when we lean into another person, it becomes an opportunity to really identify those things. So that's when you start to hear people say things like that. Well, he completes me.
Yeah.
But eventually when people don't develop to a level where they start to see that another person can't make you whole. Another person can't make you happy. Another person, those things don't happen in a relationship.
Right.
It's when a person gets a sense of what their needs are, and then they go to another person and they go, here's my needs. What do you think of those?
Yeah. And then the other person goes, are we in alignment?
Oh, well, here's the ones that, right. Here's the ones that I'm okay with. And here's the ones that, I'm not going to be able to help you out with at all.
Right.
But that's a healthy relationship. And if people don't develop by starting out in that place where he's here to complete me or she's here to complete me, if they don't develop into whole selves by identifying what their personal needs are, they end up very unhealthy. And then I end up seeing them in couples coaching.
I've got a friend of mine now going through a relationship transition, you know, married, kid, everything else. And, you know, I don't need to get into specifics for privacy, but I was like, you know what? And we were having a conversation. And I shared some of what I told him. I'm like, listen, I only have 3 months of self-work that has now spanned over 2 years, thanks to me putting the time in during that three-month break. I said, I'll send you everything I got. I got everything on my hard drive. But I said, you got to put in the time, and you can't rush it if you're trying to fix or heal a relationship. Mm-hmm. And you can't make it about just you. You got to make it about both of you. But I also told him, I'm like, listen, if there's some stuff inside of you that you have just never worked on, you need to do that. I mean, again, go talk to a counselor or a professional. I'm not the, you know, the PhD. I'm just speaking from experience. I'm like, you have to make sure that you are completely cool with whatever's going on inside of you, or else all that work for the relationship is going to be wasted. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, my couples coaching, I often do that. If I see that there's two people that are expecting somebody else to resolve maybe something that's incomplete with themselves, let's say anger or judgment or this or that, and they're expecting their loved one to be able to resolve it, they end up running their heads into the wall because it's only the person that can resolve it. So then I'll go, okay, how about we do this? We'll take a break. You do your individual work, and I'll give them specifics on what I hear, you know, that might be the work, as well as the other partner. And then I say, go do your personal work and then come together. And let me introduce you to something that's really powerful with this, because this goes with counseling co-founders. Hmm. A lot of times when I send people away, here's what I find. They don't come back.
Okay.
They don't come back. They don't come back because they're afraid of doing the work, right? And it's easier to go back to an old pattern. So they'll go back to they won't do the work, and they'll go back to their relationship because they're afraid of confronting what they really need. Right. And you have this a lot too, you know, with co-founders like that, because they're not healthy enough to say, well, here's what I feel I really need in this enterprise. I'm afraid of saying it out loud because I know that you might not agree with it. Right. And you know, they're just too afraid of bringing those two things together, but understanding what's driving the process individually. They don't want to do the work, right? That happens quite a bit. Does that make sense?
It doesn't surprise me at all, because that friendship and a couple others I've seen over the years, it's the same. I know they're not putting in the work because they don't want to.
Yeah.
Or one will say, well, you should put in the work because you're the problem, and the other one won't. And I'm like, well, if it's a relationship, shouldn't you both be doing some of the work? I mean,
it's the principle of showing up, and this is where we can bring it back to business.
Yeah.
Look, you got to show up for yourself, you know, and nothing happens if you're not willing to take the action for yourself. And that does not mean it's easy. Matter of fact, it means exactly the opposite, because growth comes in a place of discomfort, period. That's just the way it is. And everybody wants to feel good all the time. And that is just, you know, that keeps people stuck. Right. It really keeps people stuck.
I completely agree with this, because that's why my lifestyle piece, like being the adrenaline junkie, and I love putting myself into awkward situations because it's challenging. It's changing your brain, your hormonal patterns, your chemical, everything. It's like, dude, it wants to get shocked. Your body wants to get shocked once in a while. Your brain wants to get shocked once in a while. It's okay, because number one, things get easier. But then it's taken me years of channeling that in my fun and my fitness life, and then realizing, holy crap, man, it's the same exact thing.
Totally.
It's always in the business principles. World. Yeah.
It's the same principles. And that's what I kind of like about it, is like, you know, I find the older that I get, I'm not complicating things. I'm simplifying them, because all these things are coming together. Well, you know, you know, I can go back to, I went through Navy SEALs training and I washed out, you know, and I was just a young man of 18 years.
What kind of training? Sorry, your internet was a little choppy there. So what kind of training?
Navy
was that?
SEALs training. So I was in BUDS. Did you get it?
Yeah, I got Navy SEALs in that
Navy
one.
SEALs training. Yeah. And, I wasn't at that time, like I'm going to go back, hopefully be able to kind of tease out the principle that I'm talking about of showing up. I was an 18-year-old kid that really wasn't there for the right reasons, right? In matter of fact, I had this take mentality. I was like, what is the SEALs going to give me, right? Like, what will it do for me?
Wow.
And I ended up kind of, I washed out of the program after 4 months into it because I wasn't healthy enough or aware enough at that point in time to see that that was going on. I wasn't willing to show up and put in the work for myself. I was more about what will this do for me? Meaning, hey, politically down the road, maybe I could be an astronaut. Maybe I could do all of this stuff. You know, it was just such the, I wasn't willing to, you know, show up. That's really what it was about. And, you know, I heard things like that when I was a young man too, but it just didn't resonate. And as I went along, it became a major lesson for me. That really worked in my favor. I don't look back on that with shame. I look at it as, you know, that was an opportunity for me to wake up just a little bit more and a little, you know, in every opportunity in life provides that. But that was a powerful one for me to look back on, how selfish I was. And I thought just by showing up and being willing to do something like that, that I was like, hey, I should be a hero just because I was willing to be a Navy SEAL or something. No, that's just not the way it works.
No, you know? I got a taste of that when I showed up to be the hotshot out west.
Totally.
Like, well, because like the elite wildland firefighters are called hotshots. So you have that job title and it's like, you think you're badass.
Yeah.
And yeah. We literally were kind of like basically the special forces of wildland firefighting, which was awesome. But that first year, because it doesn't matter how old you are. I was as old as my squad bosses. So I was the old guy on the crew and everybody's like 18 to 24, classic military. Break you down, you know, rebuild you. And I realized like, dude, you got to take a big old, what did my friend's father used to say when we were kids? You need to have a big old slice of humble pie.
It's totally about that.
Yeah. And I was like, man, I was a flashback in my head from when you were 16. I remember him saying that quote. And I was like, that's some wisdom right there, man. And all my squad bosses told me like, Scott, you're strong, you're fit. You're older. Clearly you've done stuff. We don't give a shit about any of that. He's like, here's your tool. Get in line. Go dig in the dirt. Because that's what we do.
Yeah.
Show up and just, he's like, put in the work and we'll reward you guys. Don't worry about it. Like, just stop worrying about everything and just work hard. And it was just a really good experience. So
it was good. I can relate to you through your story. That's what was good for me, is to really get an early wake up call about what life is really about. You know, I kind of had some delusions. You know, I'd always been an achiever and a kind of an adventurer. And here I show up and, you know, some of the world's toughest training, and with this notion of, they need to give me something, which was just kind of like my first whack upside the head of like, hey, knucklehead, it's not about that. It's about humility and showing up for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to pretend like there aren't people that squeak by and they're not there for the right reasons.
Oh, sure.
There are those, but I'm the kind of person where this is where I'll say a higher power comes in. It's not allowed. Let's just put it that way. I end up running into the wall and getting the lesson.
Well, and here's an
which
interesting,
I'm happy for.
Here's a trying to connect it all back. Big picture here is now with TUWI, right?
Yeah.
So, and to our listeners, guys, that's TOOWI. So TUWI.com or TUWIMedia.com. But is that how you, is this one of those life experiences that helped you create that acronym and build that name?
I think in general, I mean, it's impossible for me to run away from my experiences. When, you know, everything that I do is kind of a reflection of, you know, in business, we say, you know, create an avatar. I'm the avatar. And I think that's what people end up finding out in business, that, you know, you're creating your avatar based upon your desires, your needs, your wants, and all that kind of stuff. So TUWI is, you know, it stands for two open opportunities within. I've had to really examine my motives in getting bigger in business. going, you know, I'm launching a media arm of my business, and it's to put my brand out there in a bigger way. So 2E stands for to open opportunities within. And that means that anything that I do, I can't bullshit myself that I'm putting something out there for myself. I got to go, how is this really going to serve people? You know, and any good businessman does that. I think I see that. But it's a reminder for me that when I create something, I got to see what need is this serving? Is this really allowing me to serve people in a powerful way? Hmm. And not just merely like me jacking off, you know, me putting my face out there, just to have my face out there. Hey, I know, you know, the dynamics of relationships, strategies and communication strategies. I'm just going to put it out there because I can. No, like I have to ask myself hard questions. Like, how's this going to serve this audience or this group? Or that's conscious business, I think, is what I'm talking about.
And you know what? That's, I think, defines a successful thought process when you're thinking more long-term like that, because I'm guilty of that too, where as Live the Fuel grows, you know, I have lots of opportunities where it's like, okay, do I go get an updated, you know, professional photo shoot done and put more of my face besides the flaming logo out there and blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. And mm-hmm. I'm like, you know what? When the time is right for that, it's got to make sure, like you just said, it's got to serve a purpose. So obviously, like, yeah, if I'm going to go do an event where I'm giving back or I'm doing public speaking, then great, let's get some photography done there, but not just with me. I want to make sure they're in the photos too, because then when I share that content, it's benefiting them in the online space, not just me.
Right.
I don't know. That's
right.
How I kind of think.
Yeah.
But
well, let me tie this into something that's kind of coming out of our conversation. This is part of the entrepreneur's journey, is really kind of figuring that out for yourself, because there's a lot of big figures out there. Like, you know, one of my mentors that I really enjoy listening to, but he's a total nut job. And I mean that in the most loving way as possible, is Grant Cardone. I mean, this guy,
10X man
himself.
He's going
a million miles per hour, but he says things where I got to slow down and go, that doesn't fit me.
No.
You know, like, for example, when he's talking about serving a need in society through his products, like he says things like, I want to be the biggest brand in the world that comes to sales training. Now, for me, I have to go, oh, slow it down. I want to be successful. I want to serve people. But if I'm saying something that, throwing that wide of a net, I'm not caring what I'm putting out there, meaning
yes.
It just, I'm just throwing stuff out there, and it may not be connected to a service that is going to benefit somebody in some way.
Well,
right.
We talk
for
about
me,
a
it
marketing,
doesn't fit.
We talk about a marketing, why it's so important to niche yourself or niche, whatever you want, however you want to pronounce that.
Right.
But it's like, that's so important. So yeah, who knows, maybe because we don't play at his level yet.
Oh yeah.
But maybe because once you reach that level, he can literally transplant into any industry out there. So like, for example, Tony Robbins can be hired and implemented into all different types of industries, groups, whatever. He's now like one of the top hired keynote speakers because of his overall message. And it's now being adapted, right, to this company or that charity or whatever he's doing his events. Like for example, my nutrition company that I use, they landed Tony Robbins. So this summer in Vegas at our big annual celebration event, they're bringing in Tony Robbins. I'm like, damn, like mm-hmm. I don't want to spend the money that he charges to go to his like independent, his events. So I'm like, I think I'm definitely going to the event this year because he's speaking at it.
Take advantage of that. Yeah.
Yeah. But then like Grant Cardone, I met him here. So here I'm wearing, for my listeners, I'm wearing the Thrive hat again. So Thrive, is that Make Money Matter event from San Diego last year that I went to. They were found, first year was Vegas 2 years ago. Last year was San Diego. This year they're back in Vegas again. But they bring in tons of world-class speakers to educate entrepreneurs. And it's the biggest event that I've ever gone to, where they had like literally over 20 different speakers over the weekend. But we had Jack Canfield last year too, and Grant Cardone. So I enjoyed Grant's message. He hits hard, he hits fast, and he just rips you wide open, which is good because you need that kind of wake-up call.
Yeah.
But I agree with you as well. There is some, now that I'm following him on YouTube and Instagram, some of his messages is just off the freaking rocker. Love his energy.
Well, he's kind of comes from this old school place of like throw as much shit out there as you can.
Yeah,
because yeah. I get his concept. And I'm not saying he's wrong necessarily. I'm just saying it doesn't fit me. He's saying you got to let go of the limitations in the way that you think. If you really want to make the biggest impact, you got to think in the biggest ways. Mm-hmm. I get it. But I'm also saying for me, when I promote my brand, I want to make sure I'm connected to the messages that I'm putting out there. And I don't want to lose track of that because it's got to serve people. And if I'm just going, you know, with my marketing team, I'm saying, I don't care how you get it out there, just throw it out there. No. I'm losing track of a key principle for me and my, which is service, right? So it doesn't fit me necessarily.
Well, and that's like a great, you know, great example on that is when people are choosing their platforms for their messaging. So I completely agree with you, right? It's like, listen, guys, we do not want to be throwing that giant wide net because that, number one, it costs more money, right? So you want to focus yourself, focus your message, focus your direction, and you'll be much more successful. And a lot of big entrepreneurial public speakers and keynote speakers are now sharing the same concept. But I'll just pick social media, for example, for marketing. I didn't always crush it on every single social media channel. I tell people all the time, like, guys, pick one or two channels. You can exist on all of them, but pick one or two just to really crush it on. And So I'm very consistent with Facebook. I'm very consistent. Like Twitter, I hardly ever, well, I'm tweeting a little more nowadays because it's gotten easier, but like now it's helped me land other podcast co-hosts on my show because if I listen to their show and their episode, I literally share it from the iTunes or the Stitcher app and they're tagged in it. So they know that I'm talking about them. Mm-hmm. And the one guy, Vinny Tortorich, he's been on my show like three times, very successful fitness confidential podcast. And, but he says, like, I'm the guy. Like, he's like, dude, you're the guy who's always tweeting about me. I love that. Thank you so much. Cause he retweets every single thing. So that's only thing that I'm consistent on Twitter on. But then, you know, I talked earlier about how I've added in YouTube again for this type of content because I was already creating audio using Skype. And I'm like, well, why don't I just pay for the basic package on Zoom? Now I can do audio and video and share content to the YouTube world because there's video people who maybe haven't found podcasting yet. So that's why I decided to do that. Number one, I'm not doing any extra work. I'm paying a little bit more, but now I can give more content to my audience. And there's no extra editing or all I do is hit upload and it's the same show notes that goes on the website that goes into YouTube and I connect everything. It's just tying everything together. So that's been one of my latest strategies. Did I think of that a year ago? No, that popped up about 15 episodes ago. When I launched the show, it was audio only. YouTube just started getting added back in because I found Zoom. Again, goes back to your point. Well, it's got to feel good with what you're doing. It's got to feel right.
It's got to fit.
Yeah.
It's got, well, you know, I'm talking about like a deeper principle of in business for me as I move forward, you know, like making sure that I'm connected to the messages that go out there. And as you grow, I think that that's always a challenge because, you know, there's principles in business, which is, look, you got to scale, you got to, you know, you got to get your face out there. You know, social media is a perfect example of what you're talking about here. You know, there's 50 million different channels to go through nowadays. What do I focus on, this or that? And if you're trying to keep up by spreading yourself too thin with too little resources, you lose track of the message. And I don't want to do that. But what you're talking about with social media, that's a challenge for me too. Because I want people to see what I'm doing. And I'm kind of moving towards this launch, which is June 1st for the Pioneers of Insight podcast.
Yep.
And I'm just, I'm exploring different channels and social media. And that you can lose a lot of energy for the stuff that matters when you spread yourself too thin with social media. I'm already finding that out, you know, like learning the ins and outs of the different platforms and this and that. You know, that's a challenge that anybody faces.
That's what I said earlier. It's like, you know what, pick one or two that you really want to start crushing it with.
Yeah.
When it becomes automated and you really work out all the kinks and it's flowing, then maybe consider pushing a little more and onto another platform or something. Like the whole, what is that yellow icon app that everybody's all about, the younger generation?
Snapchat?
Yeah. I exist on there.
Yeah.
Don't use it. I tried. I didn't like it. I was like, this is too much. I don't have the bandwidth. I don't have the bandwidth right now.
No.
I'm like, no. Nah. I was like, if I bring on an intern who Snapchats, great. I'll make you the Snapchat guru.
Right.
No problem.
Yeah, I kind of feel like if I'm not going to use it in the most effective way, why bother?
Exactly.
You know, like why noodle with something and possibly even make yourself look worse.
Like I throw in the occasional Facebook Live video. That's it.
Right.
I don't want a Snapchat taking over my life where I'm just all the time. I'm like,
well, there's Periscope too.
I did Periscope too, but that's fallen off of radar a little bit. But admittedly, because it's owned by Twitter, I mean, it's all integrated. So people still are crushing on Periscope. Again, I always research the platforms and then I go with what feels right for me. And I'm like, don't have the time for that. I don't.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Like you'll find that. I'm very busy on Instagram. Because I do a lot of quotes. I think I'm the only podcaster that I found that's consistently sharing the graphic. Like when your episode goes live, I take the core graphic image from the website and I post that image to Instagram because Instagram is image heavy. So all of my Instagram cycled into my feed, like every 10th post, you'll see a podcast episode amongst other
that's
stuff.
Great.
So it's something new I'm experimenting with. So
it's great. I'll steal it from you.
Hey, go ahead. All right. That's how we learn. So
yeah,
Facebook's automated for me now. Twitter automated for me now. So Instagram has been my big new tool for 17. I've already was on it, but I'm really doing more digging into it because I've noticed you can really grow a following faster. So that's just,
well, John Lee Dumas has been a help in this regard for me. Like we talked about kind of our relationship to his material before.
Yeah.
Just the concept of chunking things down. Like I've been more careful of finding ways to balance my workload, and I would be a numbskull if I wasn't willing to put in the work to understand what each channel of social media could provide.
Right.
So I'm finding ways to do that. You know, I'll put aside, you know, a couple hours a day each day to experiment with different areas before I just hand it over to a VA or a marketing person. Because I want to understand the core concepts before I, you know, make it part of my system.
I made that mistake when I launched a podcast. I went and hired a VA right off the bat to help me launch the show. And then all of a sudden, a few weeks ago, he decided to close his business. So I never actually did a full page of show notes on my blog and my website on my own.
A lot of work.
Or even edited the episode. Yeah. It's a lot of work. So I am still outsourcing the audio editing. I don't want to deal with that at all. But I've been writing the show notes. And eventually, I might try and find an intern for that. But now that I put in the time. I should have done that from the beginning, but I was really excited to launch. And I do believe in delegating. It's like, listen, what are you best at? I'm best at talking to people and having a great conversation. Cool.
Yeah, you're pretty good at that.
Well, thank you. And you are as well. I love your transparency and your honesty. So that's, I think, is what's crucial if you want to build a successful podcast, since we're audio-based, is literally listen to the person you're talking to and have a two-way conversation. I can't stand the podcasts that are all Q&A. I know John Lee Dumas is crushing it out there, and he's one of the most successful podcasters. Yeah. I'm subscribed to his show. I try and listen when I can, but it's no longer in my top priority, you know, wavelength.
Yeah. Well, I have him on my show next week.
Oh. So How the hell did you get him?
I don't know. I seem to have some.
I'm in his private Facebook groups.
Things like that. I just have good mojo with stuff like that.
All right.
But that's one thing that I'm kind of trying to figure out. Like when people are systematic like that, I'm entering a new niche with this media that I'm creating, which is kind of, it's epic cinematic storytelling around leaders and achievers that have overcome extraordinary challenges in their life. So I have to be able to tease out the story in people. And this is, you know, obviously our listeners are going to hear this, and maybe John Lee will hear this. I don't know, but I'm just being honest. That's one aspect of him. I'm going, oh man, is he going to be able to do this? Because he's so rigid and so formulaic.
Yeah, he only gives you what, 20 minutes?
Yeah, I think that's part of his success. He found his system and he's just crushing him with one system that he found that worked.
Well, he's also launching literally a new episode every day of the week. That's a lot of interviews.
It is crazy how much he does, but he's got a team now. He's got a major team.
Yeah.
But you know, that's that's part of my challenge and an interesting kind of like, if you want kind of a backstage view of what I'm doing right now, I'm interviewing a lot of people that I'm finding that may be influencers that don't necessarily have the vulnerability that's needed to really talk about the core of what drives them. And, you know,
we talked about this
maybe
last
even
time.
acknowledge their challenges in their life. And to me, that's not, I don't find it very helpful to just connect to people that are just informational, yeah. Right? Some people do. But for me, I find that I learn through the story, and it's like the wipeouts, the crack ups and the recoveries are the things that really helped me, is hearing how people got through those things.
And that's where you and I align very, very well, because I'm like, what is the point of putting yourself out there unless people really get to know who you are? I could just be some other guru and some other influencer that just dumps tons of knowledge bombs and nuggets. And I'm like, that's great, but you're just like everybody else. So yeah, there's people who like to follow certain podcasts and it's just full of knowledge and it's a checklist. Yeah. But back to our earlier conversation, beginning of the show, it's like, eventually you got to start taking action on that stuff, dude. You can't keep absorbing information, and people need to hear the truth from people like you and I, where it's like, dude, we've struggled through stuff just like you. Yeah. Like, we're real. We're not hiding anything.
Yeah. No, I think it's helpful. You know, I'm a business owner right now. I'm going to be as transparent as I can right now. I'm a man who runs a corporate program. You know, I facilitate large groups and things like that.
Yeah.
And on the side, I'm running a business. I'm launching a media company, and I have a wellness business, which has coaching for executives and couples that are kind of moving and things like that. Or let's just say people that need some conflict resolution, things like that. So I have that business, and then I have a media business, and I have a full-time position on the outside.
Yeah.
So those things, to be able to figure out how to prioritize, how to be authentic in the process while you're building something, how to do it effectively, how to be productive and efficient with your time and all that kind of stuff. I don't care who says it. There is no easy way to do that.
No.
And there is no easy decision either. Like, how much family time do I devote? How much of my true self and my authentic self do I share when I feel split between the thing that I'm truly passionate about and what I'm doing on the outside? Those are real challenges that everybody can face. So when you hear people that are just giving you platitudes and anecdotes, that's not necessarily helpful. It's more of, how are you managing it, right? Like, how do you get by? How do you make it work?
Well,
and
I think
that's where I want to go with my work, and I'm glad you're doing the same thing.
And I think that's important. Like me, I am fully independent. You know, I talked about this last time. It didn't happen overnight. And admittedly, I'm very heavy on one contract. So my one client is pretty much it is a primary income stream. So it's not a full, like, everybody's got different styles of businesses, but my service providing relationship from a sales and marketing professional world is like, hey man, I'm heavy on one client. So you could kind of say like, oh, you're kind of like an employee of their company, except I'm not. I mean, I have my own LLC, my own business, everything else.
Right.
And admittedly, I used to be an employee of that company. So it's like years ago. So it's just funny how that sum comes full circle, but they still need the skills. They still need the talent. So, hey, let's sign a contract and let's keep working together. Boom. But it all starts somewhere. That's the point. And I think some of the most successful entrepreneurs to be, as well as the ones that are already very successful out there, all started with the side hustle. I mean, I see that word hashtagged all over the place, hustle, hustle, hustle. So, hey man, that's what you're doing. You're finding what works now in your current state. And if 2E and everything else you're doing blows up and you have to pull the trigger and that now it's just your things, which is scary as shit, by the way.
Oh, it's going to be. I'm on the precipice of that happening.
Right. And let's be honest, I don't care how confident we are.
It's scary as hell.
It's totally scary as hell. Like, it freaks me out still to this day. It's like, you know, I got to stay on top of everything.
Well, I think one thing that helps with that transition, because I'm in the process of deliberating contracts between my full-time employer, so I can step forward and make this my full-time gig, the same transition that you made. The one thing that helps is having real data behind it, meaning it's not just you saying, I can do this. You've seen that you can move an enterprise forward. And I have real data on the other side too, as well as, you know, years of time in a leading in the corporate world where there's real feedback and real surveys and real things like that. So it's not me BSing myself. I think there's really bad advice there in culture where they say, hey, just pull the plug and do what you're passionate about. Well, here's the problem.
Where's your money?
You have children. You don't have insurance. That's not always that. Yeah,
I made that mistake.
Very dangerous.
It was painful. It was, I was stressed out all the time. That was back during my 3-month transition. That kind of actually, that helped pretty much lead up to that 3-month transition where I thought I could just pull the trigger and do my own thing just with my nutrition business that I have on the side. And I realized that now years later, it's like, I've been using, I work with a company called Isagenix. I've been doing that since 2010, since the firefighting years. And I love it. Like literally during the show, I've been drinking their cleanse because I'm fasting today. So it's a part of my life. But I realize now, I'm like, I don't want that to be my one thing. Like a lot of people choose that, but that takes years to develop. You can't just turn the key and have it. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to free up all my time because I was making good money doing it. I'm like, I'm just going to dive in head first. And it just stressed me the hell out and it did not work. And luckily I didn't crash and burn the business and the income stream is still there. But I realized like it's one of my fueling income streams, diversified income streams, like Robert Kiyosaki talks about, right? And it's like, hey man, like it's cool. It balances my life. I make money doing it. I'm helping other people get healthy using it. Mm-hmm. So it's good for the universe. Mm-hmm. But to your point, yeah, when people say, oh man, you just got to rip the lid off. But once you're in, you have no excuses. You just got to go for it.
Off.
It was the worst coaching ever.
It is bad. I mean, you do have to think practically and I think it's not practical to the place where you're paralyzed. No, you still have to show up. So I'll give an example for our listeners, meaning I prepared the launch of this business for the past 5 years. So it was setting aside time in my life where I saw where I was headed and I had a plan and I was devoting time. But when I was devoting time, I was accurately measuring where I was going. Like, am I actually succeeding? I have measures. Well, I'm making more money in my business on the side. So what I'm doing shows that I can do it.
Yeah.
So I had to have real measures in place to prove to myself, because I do not want to BS myself and say, hey, I could just go out there and launch a media company. You know, like, no, you have to show that you can show up for yourself and that you have the tool set, the skill set and capabilities to run something like that. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you can put yourself at risk and as well as a lot of other people.
Especially if you are a family, because now you're serving yourself and you're not serving your family. You have to be putting, and that was my way to go. I don't have a family, but I had a girlfriend and we were trying to build a longer relationship. So it's like, hey man, you did a very selfish decision and you weren't thinking about both of you. I told myself that I was doing this for us. And I'm like, no, I did it for me. So, that's the thing, man. You got to be honest, be transparent, own your mistakes, own your shit, but use that as fuel for the fire to be doing like what you're doing, right? You're putting in the reps in your free time to prove that model can work. And then once the income has generated to the point where it's definitely working, well then, okay, we have proof of concept. Okay.
Right.
This is a little bit easier to make a decision.
And I don't want to make it sound comfortable. It's not comfortable. I mean, I don't have time. So it means I have to make time, which is like getting up at 4:30 in the morning and being consistent, not having days off for 2 years, you know, I mean, legitimately.
Yeah.
So it takes an effort, you know?
Well, heck, man, I just realized what time it is. We'd be like way over the hour mark. So this has been awesome. I don't want to just cut it right off, but I want to make sure that we've obviously done justice to you and you've been able to get the right messaging out for what you're working on. And obviously it comes back to our audience and what they're going to get out of this. But I already know from our audience, they've gained a lot from you and me talking today.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate doing it. I would just say in closing, I'm prepping for a launch of the Pioneers of Insight podcast that features stories with leaders and achievers that have overcome major challenges on the road to success. That's if you visit www.pioneersofinsight.com, you can keep up with me. I'm constantly putting out teasers and little clips from the interviews that I'm doing while I'm prepping for the launch.
And you've already got the Facebook page up too.
Yeah, I got the Facebook page. I got a mastermind there that already for people that I found in my own in this process that I was getting frustrated with not having just a good group of people that you can pitch ideas and evaluate and without too many rules. And so I created kind of an do that. So if you're interested in that, that's called Up Hustle.
Yes, and I'm actually in that community with you. So
yeah, thanks much. It's just getting started right now, so we'll see where it goes. And if you want to keep up with my media company, www.2emedia.com.
Yeah, and again, for our listeners and also the YouTubers, all this goes into the website, into the show notes for this episode. So when it airs, you'll be able to just go back to livethefuel.com, and every single profile, I always ask my co-hosts, they send me their LinkedIn links and everything else, and I load it all in there and hyperlink it for you, so you can just click and follow, click and like, click and share, and go crazy with it. So, well, now back to you, Jerry. I actually close out every episode with the co-host having the final word of the show. And this is beyond what obviously helping people follow your content. This is actually, if they forget every single thing that we discussed on this show today about you and everything I talked about, what is a powerful message or all-encompassing messaging that you're really trying to get out to the world when people meet you, follow you, listen to you speak, coach with you, whatever? Is there something out there that, hey man, like, this is a great, powerful final word that I want to share? And once you have that, then just hang tight. I'll stop recording and that'll give you a proper goodbye after we're done closing out the show.
Yeah, I think I got it. Cool. I would say this, it's just a word of encouragement that probably the quickest path to success is by not grinding against yourself, giving yourself permission to fail. And I know that's said a lot, but when I say permission to fail, that means when you're trying to define what it is you want to do for yourself, you got to ask yourself some key questions like, how does this serve me? And for me, that ends up going further out, my family, my community, and my planet. And I think if you can ask, I call that the power question. If you can answer that with integrity and do not bullshit yourself, then you can move forward. But only until you answer that question, move forward, right?
Wow, I love that. So again, guys, give yourself permission to fail. And that's something that I've had to learn over the years as well. So hang tight, Jerry. I'll give you a proper goodbye. So again, to our listeners, guys, that is Jerry Gara of 2We Media, 2We.com. Again, everything's going to be noted in the show notes. Definitely check out his upcoming podcast. Follow him on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter. He's everywhere. Again, we'll have everything linked for you on livethefuel.com. So again, guys, this is what we're all about. We're here to fuel your health, your business, and your lifestyle. So keep living the fired up epic life. And we'll talk to you guys again soon.
Get after it.
Yeah. Good day, Live the Fuel fans. Hey, this is Scott Mulvaney, your host and founder of Live the Fuel. I just wanted to take a couple minutes here at the end of the episode to thank you for listening and also share some resources for you. So number one, please, thank you. Thank you for listening and thank you for subscribing. If you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe to the show so you can get regular your updates. I release new episodes every single week. More importantly, if you are using iTunes or you have an iTunes account, please go on to iTunes. I know it takes a few minutes to actually do this, but please submit a show review for the Live the Fuel show. It's one of the few ways we can use the system to help increase the exposure of the show. So again, if you take a moment to do that, please and thank you. All right, guys, more importantly, I want to get into some resources to help support you guys. If you go to livethefuel.com, I do have a resources guide online. It's called the Super Sevens Resources Guide. And in there, I have 21 different tips and tools just from that I've used over the past 3 to 4 years to help me get my different businesses up online, but also just health mindset related content. But anyway, if you go on there and subscribe to my email list, you'll get that guide back to you for free. So enjoy some free content. Now, more importantly, if you're on Facebook, be sure to reach out to us and, number one, like the Live the Fuel page, but number two, join our Facebook group community called The Fuel Tank. Please submit a request and I'll be happy to welcome you into our community and help you along your journey as well. And then the last piece of this little message for you guys is our resources page. If you go to livethefuel.com/resources or just click on resources in the toolbar, I put in a number of companies on here that I've started growing relationships with that I trust and that I actually recommend. So first off is Villa Capelli. This is one of the purest olive oils that I've ever tasted. I've talked about it on the show before. So please use my discount code if you use FUEL, F-U-E-L, at the checkout when you're on their website. You get 10% off your order. So please use that and thank you. More importantly, also in the health category in that page, you'll find a company called Pure Vitamin Club. We've actually had the founders on the show multiple times. I highly recommend this company. Please use my click-through link on the website. I don't have a lot of affiliations, but this is one that actually may give me a couple pennies back for every time people actually click through my logo for their Pure Vitamin Club on my website. So again, I highly recommend them for pure magnesium, pure vitamins, and their new B12 vitamin coming out. And the last piece of this message here is Isagenics, guys. Not everybody is into nutritional companies, supplementation, but many, many people are because our food is nutrient deficient. And we've talked about this from a health perspective before. So again, if you guys are looking for a change in your lifestyle, heck, even just for a side hustle business, but more importantly, just healthy lifestyle changes, please consider reaching out to me. I have Isagenics linked on there, but please feel free to private message me or set up a time on my scheduler on the website. And I'll be happy to talk to you more about this and consider working with me and my team. I'd love helping people get healthier. All right, guys, last piece of this message here is business related. If you look in the business category on there, because we do talk about health, business, and lifestyle, I do have a couple other companies in here. AWeber. AWeber is the best when it comes to email marketing. So please use my link there. I use it for all of my clients and all of my email marketing. There's a lot of different sources out there, but these guys are awesome. And more importantly, all of my IT, all of my website hosting, everything now goes through a company called Singularis IT. I mountain bike and road bike with the owner, Simone. He's been on the show as well. Good people, great technology. Highly recommend them for outsourcing your IT solutions. They're freaking phenomenal. So anyway, guys, I just want to, again, thank you for listening. Please use these tips, tricks. Please visit livewithfuel.com. Check out the resources page. Get that e-guide for free by hopping on the email list. And go to the Fuel Tank on Facebook and join our community. I'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you for listening to Live the Fuel. Visit us at livethefuel.com. Stay connected on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more at Live the Fuel. Live the fired up epic life. Hashtag Live the Fuel.